You've tuned in to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
You realize what you've done?
With Rich Liebig.
The real gangster plays his cards right.
And Michael Costanzo.
What was that that you just read?
Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Doing?
What's up, everybody?
It's time for this week's episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. Folks, it's our job to give you the most interesting tidbits in the world of sports, entertainment, odd news, and whatever else we happen to stumble across. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right. And we bring it to you with our unique sense of humor and wackiness. You never know what you're going to get here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. We do have topics prepared for you that we'll go over in the sports sampler, the entertainment entree, and the non-fortune cookie odd news. But sometimes, you know, we will go off the beaten path and go off on a tangent, if we will. We got, you know, this is just two friends venturing on a adventure for your mind here on the Crispy Noodle
That's
Podcast.
Right.
Thank you for joining us for this week's episode. Yeah, we do have a lot to get to in the world of sports, entertainment, and odd news. But before we delve into all those topics at hand, Mike, how you doing? What's up in Costanzo country?
I'm good. Costanzo country is playing Control. Just started in on that game.
Oh, the game. Yeah.
Yeah.
Video game, Control.
Yeah, it came out.
I was like, is that a phrase for something?
Yeah. Don't worry. It's under control. It's all in control over here.
Yeah.
No, I finally got a chance to dive into that, the game Control. On PlayStation 4, came out about a month ago. I've been waiting for the developer to patch it because of performance issues. So I finally got into it, and I have to say, I'm about a few hours in, handful of missions. It's a pretty beefy game. From what I understand, it's about 30 hours long. So I'm only about, you know, less than a quarter of the way into it. But it is absolutely fantastic. I'm having such a blast with it. The gameplay is super fluid. The shooting and the abilities, it just... I hate to say the phrase, it makes you feel like a superhero, because it's not a superhero game, and that phrase is so cliche,
but how weird is the game? Because this is what you were pitching me on, that it was like
so,
Twin Peaks... You said it was like Twin Peaks meets X-Files.
It's like Twin Peaks meets X-Files meets Inception. It's almost like they took everything that you enjoy... and mixed it into a stew. They're like, all right, let's get some weird philosophy. All right, throw that in there. Let's get some strange noir-esque self-narration. All right, put that in there. What's that? Close-ups of eyeballs and shifting rooms and crazy sci-fi abilities. All right, let's stir all that in there. And they really did. You know, I was playing through the opening, what was it, a night or two ago, and I'm going, oh my God, Rich would just eat this up. It is straight up your alley. It's very interesting. The main character does these weird noir style cutaways where you hear their internal thoughts.
Oh yeah!
And all I could think of is like this is exactly the type of stuff that Rich loves in like those noir type films with those like seedy like self narrating monologues that are just constantly running alongside the character.
Also, Rich loves to hang out in seedy locations, so this is perfect for him.
You do go to the Ocean View Motel is a main setting of the game. It's a sort of little seedy motel there, but nothing is as it appears in this game. It's really weird. I love the setting of the oldest house is what they call the building. It's this shape-shifting office building, and it plays tricks with your mind, much like a BioShock or a Batman Arkham Asylum game would, with, you know, you turn one way and the hallway is one thing and then you turn back around and then it's different. Or, you know, there's these weird environmental puzzles, like you come across a light switch and you have to flip it a certain number of times in order to get the world to change around you. It's like really, I don't want to say too much or be too specific because I don't want to give it away.
Do that. Yeah, because at some point I'm going to play this.
But the setting is really, really cool.
And I'll probably play it around Christmas when it drops, you know, a couple bucks.
Oh, yeah. It should drop in price once the big fall releases come out, like Call of Duty and Star Wars and everything. So it's a perfect game to get around the Christmas holiday season. I'm really excited that I pre-ordered it because I got the expansion packs, and I'm really excited to continue supporting this game and play the downloadable content when it comes out. I got to say, you know, early impressions are really positive. It's got to be one of my top games of 2019.
All right, there you go.
Really, really good. So I'm really excited to continue playing that.
High praise from Mike.
Yeah, so that's what I've been doing. Rich, what have you been up to?
Let's see, what was I doing in the past week? I was at the Philadelphia Burger Brawl.
Okay.
Over the weekend.
So which hamburger won?
I forget which one won.
Oh, come on.
I know. But I'm a bad reporter. Really, I was just there to eat as many hamburgers as I could. Okay.
How many hamburgers did you eat?
I think I got like 7 or 8.
Nice.
Well, they have, because it's a full-blown festival.
Is it like the cheesesteak?
It's more like sliders.
Is it like the cheesesteak festival when they do that?
Yeah, that's what I was going to bring up, is I think this like officially replaced the cheesesteak festival. Because remember, we went to that a couple times?
Yeah. And what do you mean replaced it? They still have it, don't they?
No. They didn't have it this year.
They didn't?
No.
What?
Yeah.
It was so packed the previous years.
I know. I guess they couldn't land on a week that was like in between the Eagles and the Philly schedule.
Oh.
Because that's how it worked the last couple of years. They had they had to find that week that was, you know, before the Eagles really kicked off versus, you know, the Phillies ending their season and everything like that.
Damn baseball.
Yeah.
And I blame it on the baseball.
Yeah, instead, the Burger Brawl.
So where was that? Was that down at the stadiums or?
No, this was at the Naval Yard, which was also interesting. I hadn't been there in quite some time. And yeah, it was pretty cool. The only thing I just didn't like was, oh my God, they picked the hottest day of the week. It was last Sunday. And the temperature randomly jumped up to 85 degrees, and there was no cloud cover.
Yeah, we had that false fall, and now we're in second summer.
We are. We're officially in second summer. This is complete BS, you know?
I love how you get angrier and angrier as the weeks go by, the fact that the weather hasn't changed over yet.
I am. It should be fall by now. I want cold weather.
I agree.
The NFL has officially kicked in. It should be fall weather by now.
That's right.
You know, so we were talking about this at work, and somebody said this eloquently. It feels like the seasons just have just made themselves later.
Yeah.
Because winter now, we get snow in March sometimes.
Yeah, like I remember as a kid, we used to get snow in December. Now it's like there's hardly any snow in December.
Right, but we'll get snow in March.
Yeah, we'll get snow in March.
It's like the seasons have all moved by a month or something.
Yeah, they've all shifted. And I feel like spring and fall have gotten shorter, too. Because it's going to stay hot until like the end of September, probably.
Yeah, with my luck, yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to have another heat wave.
And then by
something.
November, it'll probably be like the 30s. You know, it'll just jump from summer straight to winter.
There needs to be my 50 to 60 degree leather jacket weather.
Yeah, exactly.
I want my leather jacket weather. I busted it out, and I'm disappointed I can't wear it yet.
You can wear it. You'll just sweat like crazy.
Right, I don't want to sweat through the damn leather jacket, make it smelly. No, I want to wear it when it's nice and cool outside, which is what fall is supposed to be, and it's not there yet.
Well, take it up with Mother Nature.
I am. I got a beef with you, Mother Nature. Right now, you suck.
Strong words there.
Yeah. So, I was talking to Rachel over the phone one day, and she said something like, "Oh, I'm going out for a walk." And I'm like, why? Nature sucks.
Nature does suck.
Yeah.
I agree.
Like, it's not fun.
I always argue that nature is constantly trying to kill me. And people laugh when I say it, but it's true. I'm allergic to everything. All types of animals attack me all the time. Nature is not my friend. Me and nature do not get along. It's a mutual agreement that I don't go out in nature. Nature doesn't come into me.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So, yeah, I feel the same way. Nature can, I don't know, take a backseat to all this, because, I don't know, I'm ready for fall, it's not happening yet, and I'm disappointed, so.
But weather aside,
yeah,
the Burger Brawl was good?
Yeah, so, it's a great little festival that, you know, you pay, I think, like $35 up front or something.
Is it all you can eat?
And
like, how does that?
You go around to all all the vendors that are there, they've prepared little sliders for you to taste, and it was great.
So do you remember any of them? What was your favorite?
My favorite was, I think it was from Brewski's, where they put a burger, and then on top of the burger, they put corned beef and a spicy mayo.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That sounds really
good. It was really good, yeah. And it was really juicy, and I was like, yeah, that's A-OK in my book.
Oh,
the more meat, the better.
Exactly. Pilot high, man.
If you want
pilot high.
As far as I'm concerned, if you want to win a competition, that's a good strategy.
Just put a burger in between two other burgers for buns.
There you go.
There you go.
Why not? Perfect. Burgerception.
Don't complicate things. Don't overcomplicate it.
Right. Keep it simple.
That's right.
And put more meat on it. There you go. But yeah, it was definitely fun. And you know, I just wish the weather was a little bit better. But other than that, I know there's probably some people that are like, you're a wuss or something. I'm like, okay.
Well, no, you know
what
it is?
Guess what? When it's winter and it's cold, I'm going to call you guys wusses.
That's right. Exactly.
Because I'm going to be reveling in it.
Richard's going to be walking outside with his shorts and a t-shirt in the middle of winter.
Yeah.
Like I used to.
It's funny. I don't know why I'm thinking back to college, but there's always some guy at college that always wears.
Me. That I was that guy.
Shorts and a t-shirt all the time? Really?
It was the longest I ever made it was, I think it was finals week. I think it was after Thanksgiving break. I was like, all right, I got to put on long pants now.
Yeah.
I used to.
But no, that's what I'm saying. There was somebody when I went to LaSalle. He wore shorts and a t-shirt every single day, like even when it was December, January, February.
Really? Even at the start of the spring semester? Now,
like,
that's ballsy right there.
Right. That's even I'm like, ooh, that's, you gotta at least put on jeans or something.
Yeah. I mean, I made it to like almost finals week, but that's, coming back in January in shorts, that's either crazy or impressive. I think both maybe.
Yeah. You know what else this reminds me of is, I forget who it was. There was an old Vikings coach or something that they brought back for like to do the coin flip or something.
Yeah.
And it was -3 degrees at Lambeau Field. And he strolls out there with a polo shirt on.
Wow.
Yeah. How do you like that?
Well,
all you freaking girls and you know, whiny men out there, they're like, I don't like the cold. Yeah, how do you like that? I'm going to go out in 3 degree weather in a polo
shirt.
Right.
That's right.
Manly men. Bam.
That's all those Midwest teams. They like pride themselves on that.
That's impressive.
That is impressive. That -3.
Yeah. And he had a polo shirt on.
Oh my God! You know what it is? It he couldn't put anything else on top because it had frozen solid to his body.
Yeah, it would be tough to get out.
Yeah.
So there you go. Anyway, the point is I'm ready for winter. Apparently, this is the whole breakdown of this. But with me mentioning the Vikings and sports, I think it's a good transition into our first batch of topics that revolve around sports in the sports sampler.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports.
In your face.
Sports coming at you in your face here, and we're going to hit a couple topics in 2 minutes or less in the two-minute drill. You ready, Mike?
I'm ready.
All right. The clock is armed and go.
All right. Well, this week in the two-minute drill, we have one big NFL topic. It's the growing quarterback death toll. That's right.
This is real.
It is real. There are some big-name quarterbacks who have had a very rough first few weeks of the NFL season. Of course, Nick Foles, we all know that story. He went out week one, but this past week, a few other big names went down. First, New York Jets quarterback Sam Darnold was diagnosed with mononucleosis and is expected to miss anywhere from 3 to 7 weeks. That's just insane. He's hoping to target week 5 against the Eagles as his comeback, but we'll see. You know, it takes a while to get over that.
And then did you also hear the backup got hurt, Trevor Siemian?
That's right, Trevor Siemian
so
got injured.
They're already down to their third string quarterback.
I mean, 3 quarterbacks, 3 weeks, you know?
Yeah. That's not a good track record.
Keep the streak going. How many quarterbacks can you have?
Yeah.
But then things got worse when New Orleans Saints quarterback Drew Brees injured his throwing hand. He's going to have surgery, and he's expected to miss about 6 weeks. That is devastating for the Saints. They're one of those teams where the quarterback is the team.
Yeah, I mean, the offense really runs through them in terms of play calling and, you know, everything like that. That's a big injury for the Saints. I think they go from, you know, a 12-14 now to, I don't know.
10-6.
9-7.
9-7, maybe. Well, Saints.
It could get dicey over the next 6 games.
Oh, and the Saints fans will never let us hear the end of it and the complaining because they just never stop. But the real big blow this week was when Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback Ben Roethlisberger had season-ending elbow surgery on his throwing arm. That's got to be devastating for the Steelers. I mean, in one fell swoop, they lost Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown, and Ben Roethlisberger. Yeah. Is it safe to say they're done?
Well, for the Steelers?
They still think they're going to make the playoffs, those fans.
Yeah. The division is weird, but I don't think they're going to be in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Yeah, very weird. quarterbacks. There you go. Yeah. 2 minute drill there. We also, there's breaking news today too. Eli Manning officially benched.
Yeah. That's another quarterback death toll. I mean, he's not injured. He's not out, but he's pretty much done in New York. This is going to be Daniel Jones's team going forward. I mean, really, it's about time that they pass the torch, right?
Yeah.
And Eli Manning's been struggling. He was never a very good regular season quarterback to begin with.
Yeah.
And now
the
age is getting there as well.
It became evident. He couldn't even throw he can't throw anything further than 8 yards.
Yeah.
It's getting bad. So they had to make the change.
We'll see. I know New York really likes Daniel Jones. But this is his first NFL game. So we'll see
NFL game.
Right. We'll see how he fares.
Not preseason.
Yeah. It's a big difference, preseason and a real deal. You know, preseason you play maybe 2 quarters. Oh, you did a good job. But this is 4 quarters of, you know, first team defenses coming against you. So it's going to be tough for him. But things are continue to get tough for another player, Antonio Brown. The drama continues. We can't seem to get away from this guy. So we're gonna where to even begin? So after recording last week's episode, news broke that there were several sexual assault allegations against the wide receiver. We're not going to dive into that so much because it's an ongoing legal issue. And, you know, right now we don't exactly know what's going on and everybody's entitled to due process. It looks pretty bad for him.
Yeah. I just need one clarification here.
Yeah.
This is a civil lawsuit, unfortunately.
Right. It's not a criminal
lawsuit.
It's
not criminal. So, you know, that kind of blurs the line here between, you know, how serious are these accusations?
Right. Well, there are apparently pictures of text messages, but like I said, that's for the courts to talk about. Instead, we're going to focus on something else that happened this week with the wide receiver. Sports Illustrated came out with a several thousand word article detailing not just the sexual assault allegations, but a lot of other trouble that this wide receiver has had behind the scenes. Goes into a long and tumultuous history that, like I said, includes the previous sexual misconducts and assaults, but also domestic disturbances, unpaid debts, and just a general mistreatment of people employed by the wide receiver. And it really paints a very negative picture of Antonio Brown. And if even half of these things are true, I think deservedly so. So where to begin? The article, just a few quick highlights of incidents that the article points out, one in which a woman hired to paint a portrait of Antonio Brown claims that the wide receiver exposed himself to her while she was painting the portrait. It was not supposed to be a nude, in case anybody was wondering. there's the incident of when Antonio Brown offered $700 at an art auction for a picture of himself. He took the painting and then did not pay them the money.
Lame.
Yeah. And really, $700 to somebody like Antonio Brown, please. That's nothing to them.
Yeah.
And then there's really, like, juvenile stuff, like the story about how he farted in this one doctor's face and then proceeded.
Yeah. There you go.
So not only did he fart in his face, but then he went and did not pay his bills either. There's the incident
dropping turds at both points.
It's really, you know, he's 31. You shouldn't be farting in people's faces at 30, especially not a doctor. Come on, man. You know? That's truly weird.
Yeah. How exactly does that even happen? Like, are you just like
I think he intended to do it. The story made it seem like
are you just waiting for him to come into like the little waiting room and then like when he gets in you trap him?
He was just eating a ton of beans beforehand.
Yeah.
You know? Just shoveling them in.
Yeah. That's very odd.
Yeah. And then something else odd, there was also detailed an incident where police were called to his house on 3 consecutive days last April 2018 for 3 separate incidents. One, he was reporting a theft of tens of thousands of dollars, I think it was worth of jewelry. The next day, he was throwing furniture out of his 14th story apartment window, and it almost struck a child and a family. And then he, the day after that, called them again to report that his car was stolen, only for the police to arrive. He opens the door, says, "Never mind, I found it," and closed the door on their faces. So, I mean, and then, of course, the the last one is the unpaid personal chef that we talked about. I think it was several weeks ago on the podcast.
That he stiffed a bill for a catering thing or something.
So you couple all these things with the sexual assault and misconduct allegations. You couple that with his, you know, attitude and off the field issues in Oakland and everything together. And the question that jumps out to me is, why has the NFL not done anything? Because you have players like Ezekiel Elliott who have been suspended for basically nothing time and time again. So how has nothing been done with Antonio Brown?
Yeah, he just always seems to like get that like nice like disclaimer or something, you know? Like even the sexual allegations, like it's interesting that came out in the civil case, not a criminal case.
Right, not a criminal case.
So that way it makes it look like, oh, maybe she's just trying to sue him for the money. Oh, okay, we can let that slide.
I get what you're saying. There's always like an asterisk.
Right, there's always like some sort of way that he can like kind of wiggle his way out of it.
Yeah.
You know? But at the same time, though, all these charges are piling on top of each other, and it just begs you to wonder, you know, at some point there's got to be a breaking point where somebody's got to realize, oh my gosh, there's got to be some you know, fire behind this smoke.
Yeah, and it makes me think about how the NFL always says that they have a certain brand that they want to uphold, and you know, players are held to a certain standard because of, you know, they want to maintain a certain image, so they crack down on players for substance abuse, and they crack down on players like Ezekiel Elliott that had run-ins with the police, but nothing really came of it. And then they turn a blind eye towards certain other players. And I don't know. I'm trying to keep the cynical conspiracy theorist in me at bay, but it's almost like, man, they didn't investigate what seemed to be clear and evident tampering when the Patriots signed him an hour after he was released by the Raiders. They let that go, and now they haven't said anything on this. They're not going to put him on the exempt list, the commissioner's exempt list, which they could have done. This is a legal matter, the sexual assault allegations, the civil lawsuits. They could put him on the exempt list, as they've done with players in the past, but they're not. They're not going to, and it just seems very, very strange. Yeah. Very strange that they're not doing that, and it's also strange that he's, you know, playing with the Patriots. It's almost like there's a certain narrative that they want to create.
That signing by the Patriots really is very odd.
That should have been. I think that should have been investigated. I think he should be on the exempt list.
Yeah, because that happened way too conveniently. He got released, and then within a couple hours, he got signed by the Patriots.
You keep saying couple hours. It was literally like an hour and 15 minutes later.
Oh, well, I remember I was working that day, so I don't quite remember the timeline.
It happened almost, I mean, in NFL terms, it happened almost back to back.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
So,
and we're not the only ones that think it's crazy. Pittsburgh Steelers Hall of Fame quarterback Terry Bradshaw had some very strong words regarding Antonio Brown. He said, let me see if I can pull up the actual newspaper that he gave the interview to. In an interview he did with the Pittsburgh Tribune Review, he had this to say, quote, "I'm glad they got rid of him, and I'm upset now that I know how he got away, what he was doing there. I wish the heck they would have gotten rid of him a long time ago. I had no idea they catered to Brown as much as they supposedly did. I can't stand players like Antonio Brown. I cannot emphasize how I cannot stand and have a disdain totally for players like that. I don't want any part of them. I wouldn't like them. They would hate me if they were on our team. They would hate me because I wouldn't throw to him." End quote. Those are some pretty strong words coming from Terry Bradshaw.
That sounds like Terry Bradshaw, yeah.
I had a hard time reading it because I was like, what is he trying to say here at points? But, I mean, he makes a great point there. It's like, how far are you willing to bend over backwards for talent like this? And at what part does it become too detrimental to the team? The Pittsburgh Steelers put up with it for, what, 8-9 seasons? And then they said, you know, we can't deal with this anymore.
Yeah, this guy's a headache.
You know, Maybe it's too whimsical or naive a notion, but, I mean, teams have got to hold players to higher standards.
Yeah, but, you know, when you have, an elite top, you know, three, you know, wide receiver or top three running back.
Yeah.
You know, there are those policies that kind of, that, you know, you look that all of a sudden, oh, they're more flexible now because... he's the foundation of your offense or something.
It just pisses me off because if either of us, if anybody had done a quarter of what he's done, they'd be fired instantly without a second thought.
Oh yeah.
And so here's this
Think
guy.
Think about all the stuff with the Raiders. Between he didn't wear the proper footwear in the cryo-freezing chamber and then the helmet.
So to put this into an office analogy, right? He didn't have the right helmet. And so he said, I'm going to not show up and I'm going to fight the league office. That'd be like if I walked into the office and said, this is not the right brand of mouse. I don't like this brand of mouse.
How am I going to work?
And I storm out of the office for 2 weeks. Rich, for 2 weeks I storm out of the office and I complain to global headquarters that I don't have the right mouse. And they tell me twice, oh, well, use any other mouse. They're all functionally the same. For 2 weeks I do that. And then I come back and work says, okay, you can have your job back, but we're going to fine you for missing 2 weeks of unpaid time. You know?
And then you get offended by it.
I can't even make the analogy because it doesn't make sense because it wouldn't happen.
Yeah. So,
but that's what pisses me off the most here is that I got to research these stupid articles. I got to write all this stupid stuff down because this child, it's a child. He's throwing temper tantrums and it's somebody that's been raised thinking he can do whatever he wants to do whenever he wants to do it. It's deplorable. And I completely agree with Terry Bradshaw. I think he should be on the commissioner's exempt list. I don't think he should be playing, especially not for the best team in the league. It just seems all very convenient that everything's coming up Antonio Brown.
Well, yeah, it's. I think the biggest flaw is what you said is that whole. There's got to be some tampering between the fact that you know he was released from the Raiders and all of a sudden went right to the Patriots.
There has to be some kind of consequences at some point for this person.
Yeah. So yeah, that's the part that I'm kind of skeptical at. But yeah, I can't believe he's getting along with Bill Belichick. That seems like two complete ends of the spectrum. Bill Belichick is a guy that demands total obedience.
Right.
And don't you dare say anything out of line. And I don't want to hear any distractions. And then on the other hand, you've got Antonio Brown with all this shenanigans happening behind him.
Yeah.
I can't believe they're functioning. Like they're actually working together on the Patriots.
You know, to be fair, they only had the one game, you know, where he's been on the team so far. So, you know, maybe midseason we'll have a different discussion about Antonio Brown and the Patriots, but for the time being, yeah, everything's coming up Antonio Brown, even though apparently he has no problem screwing over everybody else.
Yeah.
So, there you go. That's the latest with the Antonio Brown drama. We will unfortunately keep you guys abreast of any developments. I really hate that I have to keep revisiting it. You know what else I hate, Rich? So when the Philadelphia Eagles lose a heartbreaking 24-20 sloppy close game to the Atlanta Falcons.
No! God! No, God, please, no, 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 no.
Yeah, this was a tough loss.
What in the hell happened in this game? Where do you want to start with this?
So I'm actually going to be, I think I might be the call for normalcy here, because I know you were kind of.
Before the show, yeah, I was saying some stuff.
You were kind of doom and gloom. I'm going to take
talk me off the ledge.
I'm going to take a step back. All right. Okay. This is only week two. All right.
Right.
This is still really early in the season. The Eagles had to deal with a lot of sudden injuries all of a sudden. I mean, I think any offense that loses their top two wide receivers in the first half is going to have problems trying to come back and win the game. And you know, the Falcons are, you know, somewhat a decent team. They're probably going to be 8-8, 9-7. And if the Saints fall in those six games where Breeze is away, they could contend for that division.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's that bad. I think, you know, anybody that says like, oh, the Eagles are done or already, come back from the ledge. We're not at that point. It's 1-1. We're still early in the season. You know, time is on our side. Things are still okay for you know, guiding the ship along.
Okay.
How about you?
Well, I agree with everything you just said. It is very early in the season. You made the point about the injuries and having to deal with them. The thing that I wanted to point out, though, is that despite a few obvious bad plays, the defense was holding their own with some really talented offensive players going up against them. I mean, it doesn't look like it on paper. We did get torched again in terms of total yards allowed.
Julio, man, that was...
But here's the thing. Outside the 50-yard bomb, they were keeping him in check for the most part. And those corners were playing basically one-on-one with those wide receivers because Jim Schwartz was blitzing a lot. And the reason he was blitzing a lot, and this is where there's some real cause for concern, is because that defensive line is not getting the job done.
No.
And that's what's really worrying to me. Fletcher Cox, and I know Collinsworth was all over it during the game, mentioning how he doesn't look like himself. He doesn't look like himself. I don't know if that's true. I don't know if the injury from preseason is still lingering. But they were right. The front four were not getting there on their own. And even the blitzes were struggling to get there sometimes. We did finally hit Matt Ryan a few times. We got the one good sack.
That's
where our defense breaks down. Because you can't leave Darby and Jones one-on-one with guys like Julio Jones for an entire four quarters.
Yeah. Basically, they only have two sacks in two games. That's unacceptable.
Yeah, and I know, and I can hear everybody already, you know, sacks don't tell the whole story. You're absolutely right. But Matt Ryan had eternities to throw the ball. And so that's why when you look at the passing stats, it's like, oh, my God, they got torched. Yes, they got torched, but those cornerbacks were asked to do a lot, okay?
Yep.
Now, I'm by no means saying that they're exceptional. They're not. They're barely average, but they were asked to do a Herculean task there. And stick with Julio Jones for 5-6 seconds. You know, it's impossible. It's an impossible task. So that's the positive. The negative, I sort of alluded to, the defensive line struggles, but also the offensive line struggles. They could not, I don't know if it's early season jitters or maybe Jason Peters is just finally missing a step and he's not going to get that step back. But the offensive line really seemed to struggle as well. And the big one that you alluded to, the injuries, you mentioned the two top receiving targets, but also remember Dallas Goedert was out the entire game. And so what
that's three receiving options.
Well, three receiving options, but three starters because the Eagles play out of a two tight end set normally.
Yeah.
So you're talking about an entire package that they can't use because they normally play out of that two tight end, two wide receiver, single back set. And so if you're missing the one tight end, guess what? That set's done. They're not using that package because they don't have that second tight end.
Yep.
So you're missing three top wide receiving threats. You're missing an entire package. Corey Clement is basically non-existent. Miles Sanders is not the next LeSean McCoy that everybody thought he was. Jordan Howard is, they're not giving him the ball enough. And so that is my problem with the offense, is that yes, it was a close game, and yes, it's early in the season. And yes, maybe we shouldn't hit the panic button yet, but I'm seeing some serious things reflected from the 2018 season with the really slow starts, with the really strange play calling, with the fact that, you know, we have one or two miscues and it seems like everything falls apart. You know, I'm comparing this team to the 2016-2017 teams and then this team and the 2018 team, and there's like a clear dividing line, whereas in 2016 and 2017, they rolled with the punches. That 2016 team was not good, but they were scrappy. 2018 and 2019, it seems like if anything goes wrong, it's basically game over. And that lack of bounce back, they did almost get there, but then when it counted most, they couldn't get it across the finish line. So maybe it's not time to hit the panic button yet, but there are some serious concerns here that they need to address going forward.
So there you go.
Mike
had to get that off his chest.
I had to get that off my chest. I'm not as doom and gloom as I seem. I'm still overall positive with the Eagles, but I am really concerned about these injuries now all of a sudden. Tim Jernigan.
Yeah.
That's the heartbreaker.
Yeah,
broken foot. I think is he out for the season or expected to miss some weeks?
A significant amount of time.
I know the story has been changing on and off. I don't know if you saw this, but DeSean Jackson's going to be out 2 weeks.
Yep.
And Alshon Jeffrey is going to be out at least 2 weeks.
Great.
So what we saw with the Falcons, they have to figure out how to fix that for at least the next 2 to 3 weeks going forward.
Yep.
And if they can't, then we have to look at the offensive play callers and say, all right, what's the problem here? Because now we're just seeing repeats of what happened last year. And we can't do that.
Yeah, we can't. Yeah, and also like what you said, you can't have a slow first half. That just kills you. You're not going to be able to get out of the hole all the time.
And I think that's why people are concerned, is because all of 2018 and so far, everything we've seen this season, it's the same thing. And there's almost a clear dividing line. It's like before 2017 and after 20, before Super Bowl and after Super Bowl. After the Super Bowl, offense has not been clicking.
How about this? Before Frank Reich, after Frank Reich.
I think that's really what it is. I think Mike Groh, the offensive coordinator, doesn't know what in the ever-loving F he's doing.
Yeah.
I really don't think he does.
Yeah, I think he's having problems.
Yeah, you don't take the 2017 offense with arguably fewer weapons than we have now, and now all of a sudden we have all these weapons. It's like, oh, well, we don't know what we're doing.
Yeah.
You have Jordan Howard.
Yeah.
He was one of the top backs in the league the past few years.
Give him the rock. That always seems to be a problem with Jordan Howard, though. Everywhere he goes, they never seem to give him the rock. It's like
one of those backs that needs to keep getting the ball.
It's like when he gets traded, there's like a sign that comes with him. Don't actually give him the ball.
Right, yeah. Don't run with him.
Chicago never gave him the ball. Now Philly's not giving him the ball.
Yeah. Do we want to talk about this, some of the rumors that have been swirling about one of the possible solutions to some of our problems?
Well, first off, they missed out on Minkah Fitzpatrick from Miami.
Yeah.
So that's not happening.
But the latest rumors.
Yeah.
Do you think they're going to try and
get Jalen Ramsey from the Jaguars?
I hope so. So here's my thing.
Do you think it actually will happen?
I think that there's a clear need right now. If we know that our defensive line can't get there, and right now, I don't know how things are going to be 4, 5, 6 weeks down the line, but as of right now, they're not getting there, and that is the linchpin of our defense. You create pressure with the front four so that you leave 7 guys in coverage. We can't get pressure with the 4. We can't get pressure with 5. We can't get pressure with 6. So now you take these subpar corners, and you're like, well, before you had all this help, now you have no help. So one of the ways to correct that, if your line's not going to get there, you need shut down all-pro corners like Jalen Ramsey. So I understand everybody's concern. Oh, he's a locker room cancer. But so was Jay Ajayi. So were a lot of these players that when they move from a losing team to a winning team, things change. Jalen Ramsey's problems are his trash talk on the field. He's not like Antonio Brown here. There's been no stories to my knowledge of him assaulting people.
If Jalen Ramsey comes to the Eagles, that's great. I don't think he'll ruin the locker room flow or anything like that. I think the problem's going to be his asking price. So
you're concerned about, I hear the asking price is 2 first rounders.
The Jaguars want 2 first rounders for him.
He is an all-pro 24-year-old cornerback on his rookie contract.
Yes, but I don't think that strips you of all draft capital for the next 2 years. I don't think the Eagles are going to go for it. I don't think Howie's going to go for that.
No?
No.
Their asking price is 2 firsts. But with all the first-round picks that Miami's been collecting, are there any first-round picks out there? Are there enough first-round picks out there for another team to offer to?
It's just a pure numbers game.
Miami has like half the league's first-round picks. So unless Miami trades for them, there's not a team out there that can give them 2 first-round picks. You know,
that's a good point. And like teams like the Bears, they've already used theirs for Khalil Mack. Yeah, you're right. Who actually does?
Who has first round? I think the first round is just Miami and Philadelphia at this point. Kidding aside, though, I mean, it's a common bargaining tactic. We want 2 first rounds. Oh, gosh, they want a lot. Well, maybe we'll give them a first and a second, and that'll appease them. Guess what? It does. It's a common ask high so that you get that compromise in the middle where you actually want it. So I think if the Eagles come in with a first and a third, or a first, a third, and a fifth, it's going to be really hard for Jacksonville to turn down.
But here's where you're wrong. Because if it was just a straight-up negotiation between Philly and Jaguars, then you're right. But unfortunately, they're putting this out there for all the teams. I guarantee you some dumb-ass team will cave in and do, you know, some panicked GM whose team maybe starts out 1-3 this year and needs to save their job, they'll panic and they'll go for 2 first rounders or something, you know? I mean, look at the freaking Tunsil trade. We didn't think he was going to go for 2 first rounders.
You're absolutely right in that regard. It's not a straight negotiation between Jacksonville and the Eagles.
Right. There's always some desperate team that will actually cave in. When you're talking about this elite of a player, somebody will cave in.
Do you think, though, that it still might be worth it?
I don't think so. I think you're ruining
and
all your
young,
draft capital.
A young all-pro. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. We're in win-now mode. Malcolm Jenkins, Fletcher Cox, Brandon Graham, Jason Kelsey, Jason Peters. These guys, believe it or not, are not getting any younger anytime soon.
No.
So unless you're prepared to somehow acquire a lot more picks or draft a lot smarter, you know, like running backs that can actually run the ball.
Wow, you really don't like Miles Sanders.
Here's the thing is I had really high hopes for Miles Sanders, so I'm a jilted lover right now is what's going on
here.
Yeah.
Poor Mike.
When I heard the words, the next LeSean McCoy, I said, sign me up. And then he comes out and averages 2 yards a carry. I said, take my name off that list. But the point that I'm trying to make is that the Eagles historically make some really strange draft decisions. And so unless we're prepared to get a lot smarter in that regard, I think it's more important to use that first-round pick for a proven talent. Sure, you can try to draft a corner, but where do all the corners that we draft end up? On injured reserve or as average at best? So I'd rather take that first-round pick on a corner that we would take and have it be a question mark in the low 20s and just trade it for an all-pro.
Okay.
You're basically drafting Jalen Ramsey.
All right, well, we'll see how the Eagles want to play this handout and if they will land Jalen Ramsey. But in the meantime, football still presses on. The actual schedule must continue. And whether or not the Eagles are ready, it's time for week three. So we got to get to our Fantastic Four picks for week number three of the NFL season. Get your thinking caps on. What are the four games we have to decide on for this week, Mike?
First up, we have an air show in Kansas City when the Baltimore Ravens travel to Kansas City to face off against the Chiefs Sunday, September 22nd at 1 o'clock. Rich, what do you think? These are two high-flying offenses. I don't think anybody expected the Ravens to be one of the top offenses in the league this year. Can the Chiefs keep up with them?
Yes.
Do you think they can outpace them?
Yes. This is Kansas City Chiefs. They're going to be at home. It's still Patrick Mahomes. This offense may have been, you know, hindered just a smidge by the Tyreek Hill injury, but I mean, I hate to say this, but it seems like Patrick Mahomes is like one of those guys. It doesn't matter who the wide receivers are. He's just throwing bombs out there.
Yeah, that really pisses me off.
Yeah. And now they have a sustained running game. I think Kansas City Chiefs are going to be good to go at home. And, you know, all they got to do is just prevent Lamar Jackson from being wild. You know, he can have a good game, but don't let him go crazy like five passing touchdowns. If they limit him to just like two or three, maybe they force another interception or something, they'll be fine. Because obviously this Kansas City Chiefs offense is just a machine.
Yeah, the Kansas City Chiefs are super impressive. The only thing that gives me pause for concern is their defense. They're not historically very good on that side of the ball. That being said, I still like the Kansas City Chiefs in this one. I bet against them once this season, and it bit me in the ass. So I'm going to go back to my picking Kansas City ways. You know that I've always been a fan of Kansas City as long as we've been doing the podcast. I like Big Red there. I say that every week, but it's true. He knows how to win football games. So I'm going with Kansas City at home. Next up, we have, let me pull up the rundown again. And some early AFC favorites are struggling. The Houston Texans are traveling to LA to face off against the Chargers. It's a 4:25 game. Both these teams were thought to be potential playoff candidates heading into the season. Now they're both sitting at 1-1, and they look like they are having some very rocky starts. Rich, who do you like in this one?
Yeah, this one is a cause for concern because I think they're both 1-1.
They're both 1-1, yeah.
So if one of these teams falls to 1-2, you know, and they have deep playoff hopes, there's going to be alarms ringing for whoever loses this game. You know, even though it's at LA, I'm really salty that the Chargers only put up 10 points on the Detroit Lions. The Detroit Lions are a solid team. They're actually better than a lot of people are expecting. But they should have scored more than 10 points on the Detroit Lions offense, or on their defense. And I'm salty about that. Houston, on the other hand, they've had some, you know, more difficult opponents that they had to go through, including the Saints at full power in week one. So I'm going to go with Houston in this one.
Yeah, I got to agree. Everybody knows that I think that the LA Chargers are one of the most overrated, underperforming teams. They consistently have some of the best talent, hands down, and they never seem to amount to much. But not having Melvin Gordon's really hurting them, I think. You know, not being able to have a sustained ground game there to offset Philip Rivers' aerial assault. So I think I like the Texans here. Deshaun Watson, he's a dynamic quarterback. If they can shore up that line a little bit, hopefully Laremy Tunsil's getting his feet under him in the new offense. Even though it's a road game, LA's not really home for either the Chargers or the Rams. That stadium is always sold out for the opposing team's yeah. fans. So I'm liking the Texans in this one, too.
Yeah, it's never really a true home game for
no,
the LA team.
It's not. That's a shame for them, but whatever. And now it brings us to this big question. Can the Saints survive without Drew Brees? The New Orleans Saints are heading to Seattle to face off against the Seahawks. Rich, why are the Seahawks going to win? Not just because we're betting on them.
Yeah. But I think there's going to be some growing pains with Teddy Bridgewater leading the Saints. And, you know, Seattle always does magnificent when they're at home. The 12th man comes alive in Seattle. Yeah. So Seattle should be able to handle this squad. Also, on a personal note, the Saints don't seem to be able to have that 1-2 rushing attack anymore. Remember last year it was Kamara, Ingram just constantly pounding the rock yeah. down your throat, and they were successful. This year it's been just Kamara, and their second guy, Latavius Murray, hasn't really taken off, and I think it's hurting the offense entirely. And now you're telling me Drew Brees isn't there? There's a lot of big question marks with this team all of a sudden. So I'm going to go with Seahawks.
Yeah, they have been struggling so far this season. And Seattle's just so hard to play at. It really is. The Eagles can never beat them in Seattle.
It's a very tough stadium
to play. It is a super tough stadium to play in. They have, I don't know the exact numbers, but I know they're overwhelmingly better at home. And the Saints without Drew Brees, the team operates through Drew Brees. If they can't get that ground game going, I don't know what Teddy Bridgewater is going to be able to do for them. So this one's easy for me. It's Seahawks all the way. And finally, we have our very own hometown Philadelphia Eagles hosting the Detroit Lions coming into town. It's a 1 o'clock game. Rich, who's going to win this one?
I'm really worried because the Lions, as I said earlier, pulled off a big upset win over the Chargers last week. And with the Eagles reeling from injuries, this does seem like all the ingredients that spell a trap game. But I'm still going to take the Eagles at home. I like the fact that they're home. If this was in Detroit, I would give the edge to Detroit. But I think the Eagles coming back home, back to a Philly, you know, roaring crowd, I think they just got to get back to basics and don't get too crazy or complicated with their offensive strategy. Take it one play at a time. Build the offensive momentum. They should be able to handle the Lions.
Oh man, I'm super torn on this because
it does sound like a trap game, though.
It does seem like a trap game. And I still have a lot of concerns about the Eagles being able to call an effective offensive attack without all their weapons. Oh man, it's tearing me up inside. But what I saw, no, you know what? Atlanta was a much better team than the Lions. And the fact that with all that adversity, we were still able to hang in there speaks volumes about the tenacity of the team. They have a lot of issues, but they hung in there. And I think being able to game plan around that now, because they had to deal with all those injuries on the fly.
Yeah.
But now they have an opportunity to really come up with a game plan that takes those injuries into account. Hopefully they'll be able to come up with something to stop the Lions. We've had past success against them, so I'm really hoping that'll happen again. I'm going with the Eagles as well. But it's a very, very slight edge I give to the Eagles.
Yeah. It does sound like it could be a trap game, but I think with the Eagles being at home, I think they should be able to handle it. But we shall see, and that is why we do our picks during the Fantastic Four picks for week number 3 of the NFL season. Yeah, getting a little dramatic there. But we'll see how the Eagles do this week, and then we'll reevaluate from there before we officially push the panic button or anything like that on this season. At least I think that's the proper way to go. It's still early. It's 1-1.
Yeah.
Don't worry yet.
After we're 1-2, then we can push the panic button.
Yeah, right. Yeah, then we can do that.
But I don't think it's going to happen. Like I said, I have confidence in the Birds.
Yeah. But there you go. That's the sports sampler for this week. But don't go anywhere, because coming up next, we got the entertainment entree. We got some topics there. And then the non-fortune cookie odd news. We still have a lot more shows still to come. We will be right back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Don't go anywhere.
The Crispy Noodle. Always crunching.
This is Guardian Shield, and you are listening to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Yeah, we're back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We threw a lot of sports news at you there in the sports sampler, so the sports sampler might have been more, you know, like a sports dinner for this week's episode. But, you know, hey, we're in the full throes of the NFL season now, so this is definitely one of the most interesting times of the year as the season gets underway and we have the games at full force and everything like that. But now it is time to move on from the sports world into the entertainment realm. Folks, we've got the entertainment entree for you.
And now, the latest in movies.
The Simpson guy writes to movies. Dear Die Hard, you rock. Especially when that guy was on the roof.
Music.
I know what that is. That's music.
Video games.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite store on the Citadel.
Celebrities.
You really know Warren Beatty?
Yes, I do. I took a leak next to him once at the Golden Globes.
And more.
You were the all-singing, all-dancing crap of the world.
This is the Entertainment Entree.
Myself an interview. Isn't it funny how whenever somebody wins a world championship, there's always a standing ovation, champagne, roses, flowers, yet I got a whole backstage area filled with mutes. Nobody can believe that Chris Jericho is the first AEW champion. Pure silence. There's no thank you for Chris Jericho. There's no round of applause for Chris Jericho, but that's okay, because I got my own thank you, because I'm the first AEW champion. Oh, you see that, Bucks?
You really want, you just want to thank you, you just won the title.
You know what? You know what? Even if you did thank me, I wouldn't even accept it. Okay? Congratulations on having Chris Jericho as the new AEW champion. The pleasure's all yours, Bucky boys. Look at you. Nice hair, idiot. What's your name? I don't care. Shut your mouth. All the cops can't believe it. Paramedics? Huh? Where were you when I was bleeding to death? Standing around like a bunch of morons. First AEW champion. And the whole city of Chicago, the loudest city in the world, renowned for being the best wrestling crowd in the world. Everyone's silent. No one knows what to say. All you guys can stand in the back of the line. Look at you. Librarian, you gonna tell me to shush? Up yours. I guess I'll just have to have my own celebration, won't I? Since nobody else seems to be here. That's fine. I'm an only child. I got no problem celebrating by myself. Look at this. Cheap salami. That's what Chris Jericho gets. Bunch of crap. Look, olives. Can't even get proper olives, can ya? What else we got? Oh, a little bit of the bubbly. Want some bubbly?
Oh, and there you go.
What was that?
That is, I think, one of the best promos I've ever heard. So
what? Sorry, I assume that was Chris Jericho?
Yes, that was okay. Chris. That was Chris Jericho.
Because he only said it 400 times.
After he is crowned the first AEW champion. This is the wrestling league that's going after Vince McMahon and WWE, remember?
Oh.
This is the guy, the son of the Jacksonville Jaguars owner.
Okay.
Yeah. And he's playing a heel. And
obviously.
And I just love this. This is like something from like the Attitude Era, just going around. You suck. Hey, yeah. What's your name? Shut up. I don't want to know. He's just going through, just crapping over everybody.
Like how he was like, I'm gonna have my own celebration.
Yeah, I'm an only child. I can have my own celebration. So this happened a couple weeks ago at their last pay per view. But what really went viral was the end. Where he goes, oh, a little bit of the bubbly.
Right.
And literally, it's become a meme. And this is wrestling we're talking about. Wrestling fans, they get something like this. They take it to the extreme. And would you believe it? Somebody created a remix of Mambo Number 5.
Oh, my God.
But with a special edition. Here it is. So what can I do? I really beg you, my lord. Just like a sport, anything fine, it's all good. Let me dump it, please head in the trumpet. A little bit of the bubbly in my life. A little bit of the bubbly by my side. A little bit of the bubbly, all I need. A little bit of the bubbly, what I see. A little bit of the bubbly in the sun. A little bit of the bubbly all night long. A little bit of the bubbly, and here I am. A little bit of the bubbly makes me old man. Oh! There you go, the remix.
Wow.
The remix that you never knew you needed. Chris Jericho singing Mambo Number 5.
I'm super impressed with just how well that fits together.
Yes.
A little bit of the bubbly. Like, it actually fits with the rhythm of the song.
Yeah, this is
oh
one of my
God.
Favorite mashups. It's all good, let me dump it, please head in the trumpet. A little bit of the bubbly in my life. A little bit of the bubbly by my side. A little bit of the bubbly. A little bit of the bubbly. What I see. A little bit of the bubbly. In the sun. A little bit of the bubbly. All night long. A little bit of the bubbly. And here I am. A little bit of the bubbly. Makes me old man. Oh! There you go. That's my new theme song now when I hit the club. I want that to be the song.
Just blast that on the radio.
A little bit of the bubbly.
I want to be inside the head of the person that heard that promo and was like, oh my God, it sounds like the song.
It sounds like Mambo Number 5.
Like, I never would have made that jump.
Yeah.
You know?
Is Chris Jericho Lou Bega's brother?
The long, long lost brothers, yeah. It's eerie how well that fit, but I'm glad that somebody out there has that warped reality that they're living in to create that for us. Thank you, internet.
There you go. That is that's what the internet can provide for you. So there you go. The latest viral thing that I found that I had to share with you guys, because that is amazing. A little bit of the bubbly for you will make you go. Will be all that you need, whether it's Mambo Number 5 or whether it's just your own life. You want to tell everyone to stay silent when you're winning a championship. This is what it's all about. And Chris Jericho is still making promos like it's the year 2000. I love it. So there you go. That is your random sound clip of the week for you right there. But now it's time to get to the portion of the show where Mike lets you know what's coming up this weekend with movies, video games, and TV. Maybe you can grab a little bit of the bubbly while you're enjoying these things. But here's what you got to know before you can enjoy it with Mike's This Week in Entertainment.
Sure, I'm going to bring a Hot Pocket to bed tonight then.
Yeah, so if you're bringing a Hot Pocket
to bed.
Get
a little bit of the bubbly and
bubbly,
a Hot Pocket.
Yeah, bubbly and Hot Pocket.
That's all you need there.
I think that's your perfect night, Mike.
That is the perfect night. The only thing that can make that better is this movie coming to theaters, Ad Astra. Comes to theaters this week starring Brad Pitt and Tommy Lee Jones. The synopsis reads, quote, astronaut Roy McBride travels to the outer edges of the solar system to find his missing father and unravel a mystery that threatens the survival of our planet. His journey will uncover secrets that challenge the nature of human existence and our place in the cosmos. So far, the film is rating in the low 80s on both Metacritic and Rotten Tomatoes, so this could be an early fall hit to keep an eye on. That's Ad Astra, hitting theaters this week. In video games, if you've been holding off on buying a Nintendo Switch, now might be the perfect time to do so. The Nintendo Switch Lite is launching this Friday for $200. It's a smaller handheld-only version of Nintendo's console. It comes packed with a 5.5-inch screen and promises about 3 to 7 hours of game time on a battery charge. To go along with the new handheld version of the console, Nintendo is also launching The Legend of Zelda Link's Awakening on Switch. This is a full remake of the classic 1993 Game Boy game, which is widely regarded as one of the best and most influential games of all time. So if you're looking for a handheld gaming device to take on the go, play some console-quality games when you're out and about public transportation or if you have to wait somewhere, go check out the Nintendo Switch Lite and The Legend of Zelda Link's Awakening, both coming this week. And finally, in television, Netflix seems to be getting on the crime drama hype train with its new highly ambitious show, Criminal. The show aims to change up the stale cop drama formula by setting each episode entirely within interrogation rooms. So the entire show is just in interrogation rooms between cops and suspects. Another cool wrinkle is that the 12 episodes are divided into 4 sets, with each set taking place in a different country and language. And each of those sets will also have different casts, writers, directors, and producers. It's a really widely spanning, hugely ambitious show. I'm really looking forward to seeing if they can actually pull it off. That's Criminal, coming to Netflix this week. But the big TV news this week are all the basic networks are premiering their big fall shows. That's ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox. There's too many of them to feature here, but there's one notable return that I have to talk about. Modern Family is premiering its 11th and final season on Wednesday the 25th on ABC. With 80 Emmy nominations and 22 wins, including 5 straight wins for Outstanding Comedy Series, the show has undoubtedly been a force in the TV landscape for the past decade. So if you've been a fan for a while like me, make sure you go and check out the final season of Modern Family on ABC. And that's what we're looking forward to this week in entertainment.
All right, Mike, thank you for that segment this week in entertainment. Speaking of TV and streaming platforms with Netflix, we've gotten more details on what NBC Universal is going to throw their, on what they're going to throw their hat in the ring with this thing.
It's another week, another streaming platform, right?
Yeah, that's what it seems. Yeah, every week it's going to be a new streaming platform.
It's Disney Plus and Apple TV, and then now it's NBC Universal, and I can't wait to tell you the name of this one. They finally revealed all the exciting details. NBC Universal streaming platform called Peacock.
This cannot be made good. It's shameful. It's a shameful, shameful day.
Yeah, Peacock.
Peacock will be launching April 2020 with over 15,000 hours of content. First question, what in the hell is up with that name? I get it.
Yeah.
I get why.
I get it.
They did it, but yeah. Also, no.
Right. That's my exact same feelings.
I don't know. It's so weird. It's like, hey, did you check out that awesome new show on Peacock? And the person that you're talking to just slaps you. And it's like, no. Don't talk to me.
Yeah. Don't tell me what to watch on my porn.
It's a weird name, right?
Yeah.
It's a super weird name.
I get it because that's the logo of NBC, right. But yeah, they should have came up with a better name.
Yeah. But that's not the only head-scratching issue with the with the streaming platform.
It's called like NBC Plus or something. There's some
right. Anything but Peacock. Part of me thinks they're going to change that before it launches.
Yeah.
I can't imagine they're seeing all the social media and they're like, that's exactly what we wanted. Yeah. They're going, whoops. But anyway, something else that they may have.
NBC Unlimited or something like that.
Right. That's what everybody else has. Just add Unlimited to the end of your name.
Makes it sound bigger.
Yeah. Or you could be like HBO and HBO Max.
Yeah. Even that would be better.
But yeah.
Not Peacock.
So the other issue that people are taking problems with is that it's both ad and subscription supported. Anyone who has a cable subscription can watch for free, but there's no word on if there will be an ad-free tier available. So basically, you subscribe to it, and it may or may not show ads. It's a little unclear yet whether your subscription will remove the ads or if the ads are only for the free version you get with a normal cable subscription, which to me, I don't know. It seems a little redundant to have a subscription and ads. I know Hulu does that, but they also offer the ad-free tier as well.
Yeah.
That's the whole point of streaming. Like, people still don't get it. Like, we want to stream to get away from the ads.
Yeah. That is bogus. That's one of the reasons why I didn't want to get Hulu when that first came out. I thought that was really dumb. It's like, why am I paying money and I still have to sit through ads?
Right, exactly.
That's BS. I don't want to deal with that.
Yeah, they have... I know they said they're going to announce more details later, but it has to be at the forefront of their business objectives to find a reasonably priced ad-free tier.
Yeah.
That's the only way that you can compete. You look at every other major streaming service, they're either completely ad-free or there's an ad-free option. So for them to come out with this initial press release and they say, hey, it's going to be ad and subscription supported, everyone goes... That's two no's. The Peacock and ads and subscription.
Yeah, you're already
two big knocks.
You're
right
already
there.
At two strikes.
Yeah. So what's the third strike? Well, let's talk about some of the original content. Maybe that can save the day here. So it's going to have old and original content. Of course, NBC has a huge catalog of shows. It's going to be the exclusive home of The Office and Parks and Rec going forward. After the 2020 year, they're going to be removed from Netflix. So get them while you can. And there's also going to be some notable originals, including, now this one sounds really cool, Brave New World, which is a drama based on the genre-defining dystopian novel by the same name by, now I can't remember the guy's name. Damn. Do you know what his name is? Aldous Huxley, Brave New World. Have you ever read it?
No.
It's a good book. You should read it. But they're going to do a drama based on that one. There's also going to be an unscripted...
Mike, you know I don't read.
I know. I don't know why I bother asking.
I was elected to lead, not to read.
McBain! just like this show is unscripted, they're going to have an unscripted Saturday Night Live docuseries called Who Wrote That, which explores the personalities in front of and behind the cameras. They're also going to have reboots of Battlestar Galactica and Saved by the Bell, as well as a new show by the creators of The Good Place. So it does sound like they have some pretty interesting original content to offer. I mean, obviously, it's so early now, it's hard to tell. But, Rich, the question I ask every time that a new streaming platform is announced, because it's the only question that matters, is there room here for this? You know, it's pretty certain that everyone's in agreement. Netflix, Amazon, Hulu, they're good to go. Everybody needs them. Everybody has them. But we're in this weird territory now where entities like HBO and NBC and CBS are like, well, maybe we can get in on this too. Are they too specific?
This one might be.
The CBS one was too specific. But like, is there room for channel-specific streaming platforms, or is this...
No.
I love how bluntly you put it, but do you care to elaborate?
No, because at that rate, you just get cable. That's my argument behind all these individual streaming platforms, is you're basically just going to end up doing cable anyway.
Right.
People are going to end up turning back to cable.
Yeah, I mean, the alternative is you have your NBC app, you have your CBS app, you have your HBO app, you have your ABC, your AMC, your TNT, your TBS. How many apps do you need? How many separate services do we need before it's just cable?
Yeah.
You know? I always welcome competition in this area because it forces everybody to put out better content. It keeps people like Netflix and Amazon and Hulu honest, you know, where before Netflix sort of had like the monopoly on it, but now they're really being pushed by Hulu and The Handmaid's Tale and Amazon and Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. Like, there's Disney Plus is coming in a big way to threaten these guys. So it's going to raise the bar of the quality of content across the board. But I also think that we run into the danger of this super fragmentation. You know, NBC and CBS and HBO, to me, are the lesser of this bunch here. And it'll be really interesting to see how
HBO?
HBO Max.
Oh, that's the one that's not quite HBO?
That's why it's... I don't think we even really talked about it that much, but HBO is HBO. But they also have a new streaming thing called HBO Max that I just read an article. I didn't put it in the rundown, but they are now going to stream The Big Bang Theory, which doesn't make sense to me because that's a CBS show, and I don't know. I think it's okay. owned by Warner Media, AT&T Warner Media. But anyway,
the original HBO, I would put
the original HBO
in
is
the original in the top
right,
tier because you're getting you know
right. But that's its own
Sopranos,
thing.
Sopranos,
HBO Max. HBO Max is a new streaming service that has exclusive content separate from HBO. And like this is what I don't get. Like CBS All Access is the same thing. Like CBS All Access is all the old and current shows, and it also has exclusives like the new Star Trek. And so we're seeing the same thing with NBC here, where it's all the stuff they show on their normal network television channel, but now extra stuff too. Does this threaten to fragment viewing audiences or like,
well, yeah.
Is it going to have enough viewership to even warrant it? I mean, are creators going to make shows and they're just going to die lonely?
The worst part is this one is probably going to have an audience just because this is where you're going to find The Office and Parks and Rec. And
yeah.
And fans of those shows are like, you know, it's almost like a cult.
Well, I've watched The Office 3 times through.
There you go. Yeah.
But I don't need to watch it. I just finished a rewatch 2 months ago, so I don't need to watch it again.
Okay.
I don't know. I might get the hankering for it in like 2 more years to go back. But yeah, you're right. They probably will get some audience based on just those 2 shows.
Yeah. But I think for mainstream audiences, this is just another like, it's just another service you're going to have to subscribe for. And it's just like, oh my God, how many of these things are there?
I'm just concerned. I don't want to see it. It's exciting that they say there's going to be a new show from the creators of The Good Place. But I fear for a future where it becomes so walled garden-esque, where it's like, if you want to watch something by the person who made A, you have to subscribe to a completely new service. I get why they're doing it from a business standpoint. It's to draw people in. But I don't want that future. I don't want to have to pay $10 for 10 individual apps to get 1 show on each of them. You know what I mean? It's one thing when it's born as a streaming service. Like Netflix isn't dividing its content. You know what I mean? NBC has content that's available to everyone. And now they're partitioning some of it off and saying this is exclusive for these premier members that want to pay for this.
Yeah.
And that's the part that I sort of am worried about. I know you get it for free with cable subscriptions, but cable subscriptions are like the dinosaurs. It's, you know, dying off.
Or maybe we're going to enter a second era of cable. Because, wasn't the thing with the dinosaurs was like, there was different eras? I know you're the big dinosaur guy.
Yeah, I mean, there were different eras. There's the Jurassic, the Mesozoic, the Triassic.
Well, maybe, you know, we thought maybe it was the end of the whole dinosaur cycle, but maybe it's actually just
it's just a new era.
A new era.
Maybe.
Because I'm telling you, with all these different streaming services coming out, I might as well just go back to cable.
Right.
Like, I don't want to have to do separate things for NBC, Peacock, CBS,
yeah.
and all this
or
crazy stuff.
You keep your cable just so you can get on this app for free and you don't have to pay for it. Like
right.
That is a benefit. And I know why NBC Universal is doing that is because they're owned by Comcast. So.
And a lot of the channels are doing it, too. FX does it now for their shows.
Yeah.
Which is a pain in my ass because I'm trying to follow Mayans. So I always have to, like, try and, you know, figure out how I'm going to get the, you know, the FX app to work.
Do you still have a cable subscription?
Well, yeah.
Or are you going cord? You still have it?
Yeah, but in the future.
I got to tell you, the number of shows I watch on cable is dwindling fast. If it wasn't for like Better Call Saul and The Walking Dead, I might just be like completely done with it.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway, the point is these streaming services, yeah, I think are getting too fragmented. So, either you may end up back at cable or some other options that are available online. I'll just leave it at that.
Okay,
I'll leave it at that. But anyway,
Arg. Can't tell what you're talking about, matey.
Of course. Yar.
Yar. Do we have time for one more topic?
Yeah, real quick.
All right, let's hit this real quick. We have to have a moment of silence for the death of MoviePass. The movie ticket subscription service known as MoviePass has officially shut down. So people might remember this as one point being dubbed as the next big thing in seeing movies in theaters. The service offered unlimited theater tickets to subscribers. I think you paid like $10 a month, and you could see, I think it was like 3 or 4 movies a month for that $10. But it really struggled to get any sort of footing. It faced really, really stiff resistance from the theater chains, obviously, because they didn't want this thing to succeed. And it's been a slow and painful death. Multiple times the service was forced to change its pricing structure, its ticket availability. Like I said, it faced competition from theater subscription, from theaters themselves, creating subscription services like AMC A-List and Regal Unlimited, and just the overall decline of theater audiences and the overall competition with the streaming services we just mentioned really was the nail in the coffin for this movie pass. With those three things combined, it was virtually impossible for this to take off. But I don't know. It's sad because
That's a shame. I
did hope that there would be an alternative to the exorbitant movie prices. I thought MoviePass might have been able to pull it off. They had 3 million subscribers at one point, but just this past April, the number had declined to 225,000.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's embarrassing.
So at one point, 3 million people were like, yeah, this is the next big thing, and they were so close. But constant mismanagement, the really fierce resistance from the theater chains, which was to be expected, really killed this thing. But what do you think? I mean, is there room in the theater industry for a service like this? Or just like the streaming thing, is it just going to be every chain has their own thing that you have to subscribe to? I was researching it today for the story. AMC A-List and Regal Unlimited both cost about $21 a month in our market. Obviously cheaper in markets that are not as big as this, but since we live in a huge metropolitan area.
Yeah, that's another problem. It also depends by the location and where you're at.
Yeah, I mean, they're smart in that regard. And thank God we don't live in New York.
Yeah.
Because they have to pay, I think it's like $25 a month because it's such a big market.
Yeah. You know, it's a shame. This is one of those things I think is a great idea on paper, especially since, like, I keep saying this every year, there needs to be some sort of package where you can see all the Best Picture nominees.
Yeah.
I don't know why that is not a thing. Somebody should figure out all the legal loopholes and everything and just do that. You would make a killing. Because every year when they do the Best Picture nominations, I seriously have no idea what half of the movies
are. It's basically just a list of every movie I've told people to see during this week in entertainment but have never seen myself. Yeah. Every year I'm like, well, I mentioned that one and that one and that one, and I've seen exactly zero of them.
Yeah, so I don't know why that should be a thing. I don't know why somebody can't figure out a way to do that. But, yeah. I mean, if MoviePass can't even flourish, then I don't know. Maybe my dream is dead.
It's just a shame that if you want to be able to see all the movies you want to see, you have to spend almost $50 a month to get AMC, A-List, and Regal Unlimited.
Yeah.
Unless you're committed to saying, no, I'm only going to AMC theaters from here on out.
Right.
I'm never going to step foot in a Regal. Like, that's the toughest part.
Regal.
Right. And then there's other chains, too, like United Artists and, you know, small... But, like, it's just really upsetting because...
AMC, I will never go there. How dare you?
I actually think I like... No, AMC has the nicest theater around now. AMC 309 is really nice.
Was that the one with the paper ticket that we tried?
Yeah, they fixed that.
Okay,
but
good.
Yeah, that was super
weird.
When they first redid it, the digital tickets, you know, on your phone, it was so bizarre because I walk in and I'm like... You know, go up to the person to scan the QR code, and they're like, oh no, you have to print out the ticket from the kiosk. And I'm like,
what?
What's the point of having the ticket on my phone then if you're just going to make me print it out? I had to go to the kiosk and punch in the order number and it spit out the tickets. I'm like, this seems like an unnecessary backward step.
Yeah.
They did fix that though.
Okay, good.
Yeah. It's the nicest theater around. But the point that I wanted to get to is that I would absolutely sign up for a service like this. And I was thinking about signing up for MoviePass back when there were 3 million people subscribed to it because I love seeing movies. I'm a huge fan of movies. Entertainment news is like what I do. But it's really cost prohibitive to go see a lot of movies. And a service like this would have been awesome if there was somehow an agreement between the chains to, you know, get it all for one monthly price instead of two separate services. I think the floodgates are open now. Is every retailer and franchise and channel and network is going to have their own subscription, whatever. You know, it's over.
Yeah.
It's everything that we know and love is going to be subscription-based from here on out.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And unfortunately, yeah, actually going to the movies is probably going to be the next thing here. So, yeah, it's you know, I mean, unless you see a lot of movies every month, yeah, I don't recommend sign up for these subscription services. I mean, maybe you do. Maybe you go see a movie every week or something, and then that justifies the cost of it. But
you have to get two separate ones.
Yeah.
If you want to be able to go to AMC and Regal, that's almost $50 a month.
Yeah, that's a steep price.
Not every movie shows in every theater chain.
Right. They don't.
So it's...
I remember I worked at an AMC theater.
You did.
And I remember every movie I wanted to see that summer was at Regal. And I was like, are you kidding me? Every single one.
And that's the problem that you run into.
Yeah.
I wish that they could somehow get together on that and make like one $30 a month package. You can see whatever movie at whatever theater chain. That's pie in the sky, utopian style thinking, though.
Yeah, I don't think that will happen. So there you go. Rest in peace, MoviePass. You were a good idea on paper, but unfortunately, in practicality, it was never meant to be. And with that, that will wrap up the entertainment entree. A lot of interesting news there to get to between the Peacock and MoviePass and Chris Jericho with his bubbly. So, yeah, what an interesting entertainment entree. But don't go anywhere, because we still have one more part of the show still to come where I read some crazy but true odd news, a lot from Florida. That's the only thing I can tell you. Yeah, because there's going to be a lot of crazy stories that we'll have to get to in the non-fortune cookie odd news. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Don't be a big stupid jellyfish. Keep on listening to the Crispy Noodle. I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite podcast on the Citadel. What? Reapers are back. I should go.
I'm Nikolai Volkov. I want you to keep listening to Crispy Noodle. That is order.
Hey, this is Tony Gaga. You got a podcast? You gotta go to the podcast I go to. I'll get you this podcast for $2. That's the Crispy Noodle Podcast for $2.
Yeah, we're back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We are done the sports sampler and the entertainment entree. And it is time for the third and final portion of our show, where we've got some crazy odd news that I need to share with you. Mike, what is it time for?
It's time for the Wacky, the Wild, the always entertaining non-fortune cookie odd news.
We've been talking about cool and its ramifications and how it applies to the hip scene. But maybe you could give us some examples now of the opposite of cool, uncool. Just exactly what is uncool?
My nipples look like milk duds.
Holy shnikes.
It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
It's not of this world. I don't know exactly what it is or what it's doing, but this is not human intelligence, okay? It's not human intelligence we're facing!
How you doing? Me? I'm doing great.
Mandada bastata. I don't make this stuff up.
I'll take a pound of nuts.
That's a lot of nuts! That'll be $4, baby! You want fries with that?
I've seen the celery dance across the baseball fields.
You had me at meat tornado.
No, go past this part. In fact, never play this again.
Okay! what does that mean?
And now, it's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
So, sit back, get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders, go to the bathroom, because you're in for hell, right?
Odd news here in the non-fortune cookie odd news. And yeah, Mike,
Yeah, sorry.
Give your description.
Sorry, my mom was distracting me. She was staring oddly at the door, and I was wondering if something was going on. But
was there odd news at
I
the door?
I think she's just possessed.
Okay.
Ah. Which is weird, which is perfect for this segment. Yes. It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news. Here in this segment, Rich researches the news, he reads the news, and I react to the news. He finds all these weird, wacky stories, keeps them hidden from me, which ensures that all my reactions are my genuine gut reactions to hearing these stories for the very first time. I don't know what's about to happen, you guys don't know what's about to happen, and even Rich doesn't know what's about to happen, because these stories always take us down wacky and wild paths, and I'm ready to get started.
All right, well, our first story, we're going to Australia in this. Yeah.
Going down under, mate. Throw some shrimp on the barbie. Laundry day is a very dangerous day.
You know, the last couple times I've had stories from Australia, you just have that on a loop.
That's the only thing I know how to say in Australian.
Those are your three lines over and over and over again.
Do you have, I don't know if this is true for you, but like we both do voices and accents occasionally. Not good.
Yeah, not good ones.
But we do them. I only have certain lines that I can say in certain accents. Like I can't say anything else in Australian. Like let me try. So throw some shrimp on the barbie, mate. Rich, pull up the news article on your computer. Actually, that wasn't bad.
Yeah, it wasn't actually too bad.
Do you have go-to lines and accents that, like, that's, you know that you can say it in that accent?
Off the top of my head, I always think of Boston. Like, I gotta go to the bar. I gotta go get the khakis.
So can you say anything else? Tell me to get you a slice of pizza in a Boston accent.
Hey, get me a slice of pizza.
See what I mean? It's impossible. Yeah. It's impossible.
Hey, go to the bar. Get me a slice of pizza. I don't know.
So
it doesn't really work.
I don't know. I thought that was just me, but apparently, because you learn how to say certain words, and you can say phrases with those words.
Right. When you hear that inflection and you lock in on it, like that's it. That's like your go-to.
Yeah, that's why I'm so good with the laundry day thing. Laundry day is a very dangerous day, but I can't say anything else. No.
Huh, interesting. Yeah, yeah, I guess you're right.
So there you go. Yeah.
I think most of us have like that go-to phrase.
Like Sean Connery. Rough, that's the way your mother likes it, Trebek. Sean Connery. I can't just have a conversation with Sean Connery.
But you know
what?
That's not actually Sean Connery. That's actually Daryl Hammond being Sean Connery.
Oh, I'm the worst impressionist ever.
Yeah. I don't know. So, I don't know. One of my things is trying to do, I have a vodka martini. Shaken, not stirred.
Now, say anything else.
Right, I can't do anything else for Roger Moore.
Yeah.
But the funny part is I remember that specifically from the movie The Trip. Because they go over, they do like a breakdown of all the Bond accents.
Oh, so you're doing somebody else's.
Right. I'm doing the exact same thing. I'm doing somebody else's imitation.
I've never done it on the podcast, but back in the day, as you know, I used to do John Madden. I never did John Madden. I always did, what was that guy's name?
Frank Caliendo.
Frank Caliendo doing John Madden because I couldn't do my
own.
Boom. Yeah. Boom. Tough acting, ton acting. Yeah, yeah. I don't do John Madden. I do Frank Caliendo doing John Madden.
Right. John Madden was actually more like the bootleg over here. The bootleg gonna. That's why I call it bootleg, because the guy bootlegs to the left and you bootleg up.
Yeah.
That's really more John Madden uses the same words over and over again. Anyway.
So anyway, yeah. Accents aside, we're going to Australia, mate.
Yes, we're going to Australia here.
What do you got for us?
Well, I don't know if you can do this in an accent, but this is a true story that happened in Australia. A huge fire at a cattle breeding facility has caused thousands of dollars in damage after at least 100 bull semen containers were destroyed and exploded after being exposed to the fire. So they're talking explosions.
Wow.
Yeah.
So
good thing we don't have bull semen around here.
Wait, I'm confused. Is what exploded? The bull semen?
So I have the full story here.
Okay, so I'm assuming, because I need to understand what is actually exploding here. Like they put the bull semen in the tank, and the bull semen was under such high pressure,
Emergency services were called to the blaze in the early hours at Yarram Herd Services in Gippsland. It took 10 fire crews more than 2 hours to extinguish the fire after it broke out around 3 in the morning. A spokesman from the county fire authority said that the fire had, quote, completely shredded the building. That's an interesting phrase. I've never heard that before.
Yeah.
County Fire Authority Gippsland Commander Chris Loschenkohl.
What are these names? This is Australia.
Yeah, I don't know. Loschenkohl said that the crew had to be wary of firing semen cylinder projectiles coming at them while they tackled the blaze. Yeah, so...
Why are the semen canisters firing off like that? What is the science behind it?
The liquid inside the cylinders was rapidly expanding.
Oh.
And essentially the lids of the cryogenic cylinders were actually popping off the top and being thrown around like projectiles.
Oh, that's terrifying and gross at the same time.
Right, so you're actually dealing with real legit threats... But also, it's covered in bull semen as they're coming at you. Yeah, it's not a sight. Yeah,
it's like a comedy where they like rush into the burning building and they just slip on it. You know.
Yeah. Luckily, no one was injured. As for the value, the actual cylinders are worth at least $350, some up to $1,000 per unit, based on the semen inside them. which varies by price. So there you go. Interesting tidbit there.
See, we should invest in a bull.
In a bull? Just a bull?
Yeah, and just jack it off.
One bull?
Well, I mean, to start off with, you know, after you sell a couple of highly explosive semen canisters, make a couple $1,000, you buy a second bull. The more I hear, every time you come up with one of these bull semen stores, I'm always impressed at how much money it's worth.
Well, apparently that's fine as long as you don't expose it to fire.
Well, that's safe to say with anything, Rich. It's good as long as you don't expose it to fire. I can't think of one thing.
Food?
Okay. Okay, you got me there. As soon as I said it, I was like, well, no, there's one thing.
Yarram Herd Services has been providing artificial insemination for farmers in Gippsland for the last 20 years. Their vice chairman, Aaron Thomas, though, said that the loss of more than 100 cryogenic cylinders of cattle semen will be a huge blow for the farmers. And,
blow.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. That's right. But, yeah.
They blew their load.
There you go, just for you.
There's like a really bad porno-like plot idea here, you know?
Yeah.
About blowing loads and, yeah.
Yeah, but unfortunately, yeah, that actually is legitimately going to hurt the farmers down there, but...
They'll just jack off more bulls. It's nothing that can't be replaced.
Yeah, but the bulls, they're going to have a tough time, man. They're going to be like, yo, I'm drained over here.
I'm drained over here.
Give me a break. Come on.
They're just constantly jacking them. Like, do they have machines that do that, or do they got to go in? I assume they have machines.
I assume there's a machine, but I don't
know. It's like a milking machine, except for male cows.
Yeah, so there you go. First story there coming out of Australia.
Why is Australia? They love jacking bulls, don't they? Wasn't the other bull stories from Australia? Because we've had a few throughout the years.
I don't know. I have to look back on their archives.
I just imagine Australia doesn't have much going for them, so people are just jacking off animals left and right and seeing which ones get the highest.
Which one commands the highest bid.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. There you go. Quick, jack that one off. That might be worth something.
Jack that one off.
Yeah. Let's see. That might be worth something.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
It's so bizarre. It really is. They had a whole warehouse filled with canisters of bull semen.
Yeah. And they didn't know it was highly explosive, apparently, between the actual cylinder and
yeah.
And then,
I guess it's like any liquid that's under pressure.
I guess so.
You know, and it pops off.
All right. We're going from Australia to Mississippi.
Okay.
How do you like that transition?
That is a wild ride right there.
Yep. So we're going to Mississippi in this one.
Oh, there's not many good things in Mississippi.
Well, how about this? There was a man who was wearing a Captain America costume that was arrested for burglary.
Okay. When Captain America throws his mighty shield, all those who chose to oppose his shield must yield. A
Yeah,
wow,
but
that was something.
Yep, that was the old time Captain America cartoon intro. But this is not. I don't think this. I highly doubt this is the real Captain America.
I really want to believe that the guy was singing that as he was breaking in and robbing this place.
Well, unfortunately, this was not the case. 36-year-old David Hobbs was collared early Monday morning as he allegedly tried to use not a shield but a pipe to break into a shed.
Come on. He doesn't... You know, he's not even committed to the cosplay.
Yeah, you gotta
okay?
have the shield.
You
Come
gotta
on.
Have the shield, man.
Yeah, not a pipe.
I don't remember that part in Captain America. Captain America busts out his pipe and just starts cracking people in the head.
Captain America uses his pipe. Wait, what? That doesn't fit.
Oh, my God. His mighty pipe. What was it? He throws his mighty shield.
Yes, throws
his mighty
pipe.
Swings his mighty pipe. That sounds like something else.
Yeah.
Going back to bull semen.
Making the girls have to wipe. I don't know.
Wow, okay. And he starts swinging that pipe around. And
yeah.
Whew. They got all hot and bothered.
I don't know. What else rhymes with pipe? Wipe. That's what I came up with.
That's where you went. All right, there you go. Rich is like the anti-Dr. Seuss. Dr. Seuss is like, I will not eat those eggs in ham. Rich is like... Captain America is going to dick you good.
Yeah, so you'll have to wipe.
Yeah, so you have to wipe.
After you handle his pipe.
Oh, my God. Awesome.
So anyway, back to the story. So yeah, he's using a pipe to break into the shed. Hobbs was thwarted when an alarm alerted the homeowner to the attempted 3 a.m. burglary. Hobbs was wearing a Captain America costume. It did have the mask, but no shield. So, yeah, you got to
like
go
I said,
all the way.
No commitment.
Yeah. I mean, I know you have the mask.
These
but
lazy burglars.
Yeah, come on. You got to go all the way. The homeowner grabbed his gun, went to...
See, if he had the shield, it wouldn't have been a problem.
Right. Went to the backyard and yelled, "What the hell are you doing, Captain?"
I like that he addressed him as Captain.
Yeah.
He had the proper respect for the rank.
Right, exactly.
I appreciate that.
Yes.
Yeah.
He then held Hobbs at gunpoint until police arrived. Hobbs was removed of the costume when he was locked up in the Coahoma County Jail on a $25,000 bond. However, Clarksdale cops did photograph the handcuffed Hobbs in his Captain America gear while at police headquarters, which has gone somewhat viral. So if you Google David Hobbs Captain America, you can actually see the photo for yourself of him being in handcuffs in the Captain America uniform.
Oh, my God, Rich.
Captain America throws his mighty shield. All those who chose to oppose his shield must yield. If he's led to a fight and a duel is due, then the red and the white and the blue will come through when Captain America throws his mighty shield.
This guy does not look like Captain America at all.
Yeah, he looks like, you know, the guy down the street who's going to bum a cigarette off of you.
He really, he's, oh my God, I can't think of a more unlike Captain America person.
What's up, guys? I'm Captain America. What else do you want? You got to smoke?
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
Hey, what's happening in the shed? Give me that pipe.
Give me that pipe.
I got to break in this shed. Maybe there's some smokes in there.
Oh my God, that is hilariously bad. I love the costume is like a legit children's costume though, because it has the fake muscles.
Yeah,
like that's the best part is it's not just like the blue top with the star and the stripes and everything. It's got the fake muscles and everything. This is the saddest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah,
because I guess he thought this was a good idea at one point, like. I need a costume to break into a shed. So did he just have this lying around? Did a regular... Couldn't he have just used the mask? Like, couldn't he have just worn regular clothes and just used the mask to cover his face?
Then you don't have any Captain America cred. You got to use at least the costume.
But the costume didn't help. The fake muscles didn't help.
What?
I know. What?
I thought thought maybe they would realize, oh, I'm muscular.
Yeah.
I'm Captain America.
The homeowner comes out with the gun and he goes, whoa.
I'm Captain America.
Yeah. Hey, kid.
What more do you want from me? Go get me a pack of smokes. I need to break in this shed.
Oh, my God. That's great. That is the saddest thing I've ever seen. Oh, that's awesome.
All right, how about we get to some Florida stories here?
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
Yeah, you promised me a lot of Florida, so what do we got?
Let's go some Florida stories here. Let's do this one. A Florida man awaiting sentencing for attempted murder decided to douse the prosecutor that was charging him with his own urine on Wednesday afternoon.
This is my pee-pee. Pee-pee. This is my pee-pee. Pee-pee. This is my pee-pee. Pee-pee.
This is my pee-pee.
This is my pee-pee. This is my pee-pee. This is my pee-pee. This is my pee-pee. This is my pee-pee. This is my pee-pee.
Oh, yeah.
I love
that
song.
We got one of these stories here for you.
So, was this during the court proceedings?
Yes. According,
how do you manage to get pee in a receptacle into the court proceedings?
According to the criminal complaint, 28-year-old Albert Navarez was inside Judge Susan Auspector's courtroom when he charged at Assistant State Attorney Andrew Newman and, quote, threw urine fluid at the lawyer.
Urine fluid?
Yes, that's what it actually says.
Isn't that a little redundant?
Yeah, I would
say so.
Was
this urine solid matter?
No, was all fluid. So this is all number one.
But but what I'm saying is, urine is, as far as I know, always a liquid, right?
Yeah.
Hopefully. If it's not a liquid, you have problems. It's like, whoa, it's coming out as a gas. What the hell's going on? You get what I'm saying, though?
The urine went inside Newman's clothing.
Oh, no.
Yep. Newman was the lead prosecutor in the attempted murder case for which Navarez was convicted and scheduled to be sentenced.
Was? Is he dead now?
No, he's been convicted.
Oh, okay.
Navarez was convicted of firing several shots at his girlfriend as she ran from his vehicle following an argument back in June of 2017.
Wow, sounds like a classy fella.
Yep. Luckily, the woman was not struck by the bullets. Bailiffs are unclear how he got the bodily fluid into the courtroom.
That's what I mean. What was it in?
Bailiffs believe that he probably just urinated under the table.
Aww.
And then chucked it at the assistant prosecutor.
So, what, into his hand?
Or, no, into like a cup or something, because they have like cups for water and stuff.
Oh, okay. So they saw that he threw it out of the cup.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because as far as they know, they don't think he brought it into the courtroom.
So did nobody notice him peeing under the table?
I guess maybe not.
I mean, you'd think that the judge and the jury are like staring at him the whole time.
Well, maybe it was a really compelling argument that this guy was making and they're just distracted.
And they're just locked in on the compelling argument.
Yeah.
They're not noticing.
Or
the
maybe
guy.
It's a desk that doesn't.
Oh, yeah. Maybe it has like a front to it.
Right. Has like a cover.
I feel like that would be a security concern.
Yeah.
Like you wouldn't be able to have. I'm trying to think, because I did jury duty once. I'm trying to remember the tables in the Norristown court. If anybody has any experience in the Norristown courts, let me know. Do they have tables or do they have desks?
Yeah.
Because I feel like that's a security concern if somebody can hide something under
the desk.
Table, right?
Yeah.
Well, in Florida, they're too stupid either way, so it
Florida.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah. After the urine attack, Navarez then screamed, "Hey, he pissed on me and my legacy in this courtroom. F that douchebag."
Oh, I get it. Was poetic.
Yeah.
Get it? He pissed on him. He threw pee on him. Yeah.
He pissed on me vicariously through this court case.
Yeah.
How dare you? Now I'm going to do it literally. Legacy. Oh, yeah. You have a legacy. Yeah.
Legacy of what? Trying to shoot your girlfriend and failing?
Yeah.
That's not something to hold up.
My legacy. Yeah.
My legacy.
Oh, boy. This guy, ego.
What an imbecile.
Navarez will now face an additional charge of misdemeanor battery. I guess because it's could do bodily harm.
Right.
So, yeah, good job. You now have an additional charge you're going to have to face.
You could tell he really put some thought into that, though.
Yes.
Because he had that line ready to go. He pissed all over me and my legacy. So, like, he really thought that through.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he was really trying to draw that connection there. make it like a poetic gesture.
Okay, let's do, I'm going to do this one here. Another Florida story, of course.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
A Florida woman assaulted her wife after discovering that the victim was sleeping on her spot on the bed, according to police.
No, I'm going to kill you, motherfucker, old style.
Yes, don't, this is my specific wow. spot on the bed. How dare you? Everybody knows this.
Jesus Christ.
According to the arrest affidavit, the spouse told police that her wife was upset that she was sleeping in her spot on the bed. That's when 26-year-old Crampton. Wow, they don't have a first name. Just Crampton.
Crampton?
Yeah. That's it. That's the name. Crampton?
That's an awesome name.
I'm not even sure that's her last. That could be a first. I don't know. Is that a first name or a last name? I have no idea.
Little Crampton. Who names a kid Crampton? I hope that's not the first name.
Yeah.
Crampton.
I don't know. So 26-year-old Crampton, I don't know, then kicked the victim off the bed, then kicked her in the stomach while she was on the ground. When she sought to get back up onto the bed, Crampton then punched her multiple times in the back Jeez. Of the neck. Then she thought maybe she had done something wrong, so the victim then went into the kitchen to offer donuts as
what?
A peace offering. Yes, of course. That'll soothe everything.
No, I'm gonna kill you, motherfucker, old style.
So the person is getting beat up. They're like, "Oh, I must have done something wrong."
Yeah.
Here, have some donuts.
Right. Then when the victim walked back up the stairs and tried to hand Crampton a donut, Crampton slapped the victim's hand to make her drop the donut and screamed, "A donut ain't gonna fix this bitch."
Fix what? She
yeah.
was off the bed. Oh my God.
Yeah.
This seems a bit excessive for somebody just sleeping in their preferred spot.
How dare you? Everybody knows this is my spot.
And also, you said that they're married?
Yeah. They're legally married. I guess, yeah. Because it says wife in the police report.
Right. So, I can't imagine how you could treat your spouse like that.
Yeah. When questioned by Clearwater police, Crampton admitted that she simply snapped at the wife and said she couldn't stand one more of her dumb mistakes any longer.
Oh my God. So really it wasn't the sleeping in the spot thing. That was the straw that broke the camel's back.
Yeah,
there's a whole bunch of little things that apparently this poor woman did, bringing her a donut.
Yeah. I don't know. That's pretty bad. She's trying to make it better by giving you a donut,
right.
And you slap it away.
That's super excessive. And she said, "This ain't gonna fix this bitch."
Yeah, a donut ain't gonna fix this bitch.
Fix what?
Yeah.
What was there to fix? She slept on your side of the bed. Like,
how dare you?
Yeah, right? What, does it have, like, the perfect body indentation? And
yes.
She messed up the body
it
indentation?
It conforms for my perfect body. Not like you uncultured swine. Get away from here!
So now she's an elderly British man.
Yeah, I don't know why I went elderly British man. But I don't know.
Be gone!
Be gone, you bitch!
She's a right proper British fellow now.
Take your fried food away from me!
Away, I say!
Away! Police observed that there was no injuries on the victim. And Crampton was arrested for domestic battery.
Well, good.
So, there you go.
It's a shame. She was just trying to fix it with a donut.
I know. At least she offered, like, something, you know, be like, "I'm sorry," and she just slaps the... It's a donut, too. How can you say no to a donut?
And also, after you get her off the bed, like, first off, back up, you shouldn't kick anybody, first and foremost. That goes without saying. But after she's off the bed, why continue to assault her? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And at no point is she like, "Hey, that's my side." You know? Like, she just starts wailing on this person. Totally uncalled for.
Yeah.
Clearly, there was something else going on here that, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either, but
not
I'm
right
sorry.
In the head.
Somebody offers you a donut. That should be a fine sign.
I mean, if somebody brings me a donut, I'm definitely not going to slap it out of their hands.
Right.
You
don't
know?
You dare slap a donut?
You might be mad at that person, but it's still a donut.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to say no to a donut.
That's the real victim here, the poor donut.
That donut is just an innocent bystander.
Yeah.
You know, it's trying to fulfill its lifelong duty of bringing people together with its fried, doughy goodness.
Yes.
And now it's just, it's slapped on the floor.
As a common
tossed
throw
aside.
Toy.
Yeah. Tossed aside so violently, so haphazardly.
Very disappointing.
It's very disappointing. Heartbreaking, even.
All right. I think we got time for one more Florida story here.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
And, wow, this one, we're going to follow a great case of a Florida couple here.
Okay.
On Friday night, a cop stopped a man and a woman who were riding bicycles with no lights on a street on Ferdinanda Beach, which is a city outside of Jacksonville.
Okay.
While questioning the subjects, 35-year-old Megan Mondanero and 31-year-old Aaron Thomas, a patrolman noted that they smelled of booze, had bloodshot eyes, and slurred speech. So there you go. Pretty good.
I mean, that's par for the course for Florida. So so far, this is just normal Florida news. Yeah. What makes it odd?
So the cop then searched Thomas's backpack, and that's when they found several cans of Four Loko.
Okay.
So there you go. They want to get drunk, but they also want to have enough energy to ride bicycles.
Right, exactly.
They got their priorities straight.
Right.
Thomas said that the couple was going to go to Hammerhead Beach Bar.
Okay.
Aaron was arrested and placed in the back seat of the patrol car with Megan. They were both arrested, according to Officer Mark Hunter in the police report. Hunter claims that both suspects were handcuffed before being placed in the cop car. But while they were waiting for another squad car to await transport to send Mondanero and Thomas to different jails, Megan and Aaron somehow took their clothes off and started to have sex in the back seat of the cop car.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
That makes sense.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, freaking.
I mean, you're already in trouble. You might as well just do whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
Right?
Freaking Houdini's over here.
But yeah, they're handcuffed and they. So imagine, like, when you say handcuffed, like behind the back.
Yeah.
Right? That's really impressive. They got their clothes off like that.
Yeah. How did. Just a whole bunch of shimmying? Like, how do you do that?
I don't even know. Like, because your hands are behind your back. So it's like. I don't know. It must be like Gumby or something.
Yeah. Upon spotting the pair trysting, Hunter opened up the door to try and stop them. But by then, Aaron was already naked. That's impressive. I don't know how you got all your clothes off. And Megan had her pants down where her vaginal area was visible, according to the cops. So there you go. Pretty nice.
Let's get to bashing butts as well as D's nuts.
Hunter also noted that her bra was off as well. Damn.
How did they do all that handcuffed? That's really impressive.
Yeah.
Handcuffed in the back of a squad car? Like, I can't imagine there's a lot of room back there either.
Instead of doing crime, you guys should do a magic act.
Exactly, right?
This is impressive.
You could sell tickets to that. People would definitely pay to see two people handcuffed strip out of their clothes.
Yeah. As Thomas was being separated from Megan and being pulled away from the cruiser, he then knocked a second deputy to the ground, and Thomas fled naked away from the cop car.
Wow.
Yeah, there you go. Burst out. Go for it.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
I've got balls of steel.
Yeah.
Running away into the...
Into the Florida night.
Into the Florida night.
Another naked man goes
totally
away.
Totally naked. He just left his girl behind.
Yeah. So Mondanero, who, by the way, has a tattooed on her left arm that says Miss Thirsty.
Oh, my God.
Boy.
The epitome of trash right there.
Yeah. Then herself became violent.
Okay.
How dare you interrupt my sex session in the middle of this cop car.
Right.
She tried to kick at one of the cops, and that's when they tackled her and properly restrained her. She's now locked up in lieu of a bond of $12,508.
Why eight? I love that.
I don't know. They must have done the addition or something. $12,508
and eight.
Yeah,
I love that.
And then later on in the night, they found Thomas at a local Cold Stone Creamery.
What? That's the best part of the whole story.
I just want to imagine him just like screaming that into the Cold Stone Creamery.
Right.
Naked and like, I need ice cream.
What I like to imagine is when they say at a Cold Stone Creamery, like he's literally sitting down inside eating ice cream, still handcuffed and completely
and
naked.
Yes. I want ice cream.
I would love to know what the person at the counter is like thinking as this naked person handcuffed comes in. He's like, can I get some vanilla with some of the Reese's peanut butter cups chopped up in there? And just starts giving him an order like everything is fine. Yeah.
Can you get me some hot fudge? It's a little cold in here.
Yeah, right.
it's just me.
No, not the ice cream. That's for me.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
The two. Yeah.
Like, you're clearly in trouble. You're in a lot of trouble because
you're naked.
Got
the police
caught.
Are
well, first
after
you got caught drunk in public and you got arrested. And then you had sex in the back of a car, which only amplified things. Then you assaulted a cop. Remember, he knocked one down.
Yeah.
You fled into the night completely naked.
Yep.
With, I assume, a raging erection because you were in the middle of the deed.
Right.
And then you decide after all this, you know what? I want some dessert.
I need some ice cream.
I've had a really tough day.
Yeah.
I just need something to unwind with.
I need some ice cream.
I need some ice cream.
Where's the local Cold Stone Creamery?
Right, exactly.
The couple have been charged with DUI, resisting officers, exposure of sexual organs, and engaging in lewd and lascivious acts.
Oh, lascivious. Those are the best kind.
Yeah. Thomas is being held without bond, so Thomas has no chance.
Oh, wow.
at least the girl has $12,508 bond. She could pay off if she needs to get out of there.
But the real question, did he get to finish the ice cream?
I don't think so.
Damn it. Another food victim.
Yeah. Poor ice cream. And there you go, folks. That's what I have for you this week in the non-fortune cookie odd news. What a journey.
What a journey.
Yeah. But before we officially wrap this episode up, let's go over all that we've learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
As your body grows bigger,
your mind must flower.
It's great to learn,
because knowledge is power.
All right, Mike, what have you learned?
Well, I learned that the food victims are the real victims in the odd news.
Yeah.
Now, first, a donut cast aside like a worthless piece of trash, and then the ice cream going unfinished. Two innocent food items that were prevented from living out their fullest lives.
Yeah.
Tragedy. Real tragedy. I also learned that Rich is the anti-Dr. Seuss.
Apparently, yeah.
Yeah.
Don't trust me to rhyme.
With your crass rhymes. That's right. I'm sure there's a place for it.
What else rhymes with pipe?
I mean, swipe.
Okay.
Wipe. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, that's all I got.
Ripe.
Okay.
That's three.
Well, I went with wipe.
You went with wipe. You'll need to wipe up a lot with all the bull semen that's exploding out of factories. Like, that's really alarming.
Yeah, I never thought of going into the semen industry.
But now
it's
dangerous now.
Yeah, never go into the animal semen industry.
I mean, it was always gross, but now it's also deadly as well.
Yeah.
Bull semen is highly volatile, apparently.
Not good.
And finally, I learned that we can only use some accents with certain phrases.
Yeah, that's how you get the ball rolling on the phrase.
Yeah. I'd like to know if other people have that same issue. Like, if they can do an accent or an impersonation, can they only do certain lines?
Yeah.
Because that's how I feel.
I would agree as well. I think it's a common thing.
It's like an interesting little sociological thing.
Yeah.
But that's far too smart for us.
Yeah. But hey, let us know on Twitter if there's a phrase or something that you think of for a specific accent. Because maybe we'll do a segment on it or something. So let us know. But there you go. That's what we've learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Yes, sir.
I'm f***ed if I know what we did.
Oh, man, and there you go, folks. Another interesting episode of the Chris Moodle podcast in the books. Whew, man, that was a wild ride.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, Florida bringing another crazy tale.
Yeah, a whole host of stories from there.
Yep. But this is the Crispy Noodle Podcast. If you like what you heard, make sure to go to our website, thecrispynoodle.com. Make sure to like us on Facebook, The Crispy Noodle. Follow us on Twitter, at The Crispy Noodle, and on Instagram, at The Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. You can also subscribe to our channel on YouTube, where you can find interviews, videos, best bits, and a whole lot more. But most importantly, remember to subscribe to The Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. You get the latest episodes downloaded for free every Thursday. So make sure you search for, download, and subscribe to The Crispy Noodle Podcast on the podcast service of your choice.
That's right. We also have a SoundCloud page where we have the mini noodles, the best bits of the show, shrunk down into a quick 2-minute promo clip that you can easily listen to with friends and family. The craziness that is the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
So many ways to get in touch with and share the Crispy Noodle Podcast, but if you want to get in touch with us individually to share your sports, entertainment, and odd news stories, you can find us on Twitter. I'm at Mikey Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo.
And I am at Rich Liebig, RichLiebig. Find us on the Twitters. Let us know what's happening. If there's a story you want us to cover, send it our way. And, yeah, we'll take all submissions into consideration. And if we talk about one of the topics that you send our way, we'll give you a shout-out.
That's right.
And, yeah, give you a proper credit where credit is due. Yeah, let us know what's happening in your world that you think we need to talk about, or in the news in general. And, yeah, you never know. We might shout you out here on the podcast.
Yeah, please do. We love it when you guys participate. Odd news goes specifically to Rich, though.
Yes, so Mike doesn't spoil it for himself. But for right now, we got to wrap this episode up. This has been the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the Crispy Noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. All right, that's going to do it.
Whew, yeah.
My voice is going there at the end.
Yeah, it's a jam-packed show.
Yeah, a lot of crazy news, but that's nature of the podcast. Thank you guys for listening. This has been the Chris Moodle Podcast. We'll see you guys next week.
See you guys.
Later!
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
Hello, it is I, your good friend and former President Barack Obama. It's been a while. I'm joined by the leader of the ghost clergy, Cardinal Copia.
How you doing, United States of America?
Well, I'm well, but now you may be asking yourself,
why are we here?
Well, it's 2019 and nothing makes sense anymore. But anyway, in my retirement and during his infernal time away from the clergy, we've both been listening to a few podcasts.
Ones that will make the asses wobble!
Yes, those are good ones, but we also need ones that bring us hope and change. One in particular with sports, entertainment, and odd news.
You give them a listen and a clappity-clap, yes?
Yes, a round of applause for our favorite podcast.
The Crispy Noodle Podcast 2019!
Oh.